This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Dog days of summer to all you dogma-free people. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker. Barker, dog days. Barker, get it? We are your friendly neighborhood atheists, Annie Laurie and I, and this is the weekend of July 31st, 2010. Free Thought Radio, this show is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. And also broadcasting in Atlanta, Anchorage, Grand Rapids, Monterey, and podcasting everywhere throughout the universe.
Free Thought Radio is not the multi-universe, Dan?
The multiverse. The cosmos.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And like our name implies, our members are personally free from religion, atheists, agnostics, skeptics of whatever pedigree, and we work to keep religion out of government, as is constitutionally required by our founding document. So that's why we are called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We believe in freedom of religion as well, but we think there's a pressing need to work for defending our secular government. And we're the largest national association of freethinkers in North America at 15,500 members and growing.
Our guest on today's show, in the second half of today's show, is a high school teacher of science, a bilingual teacher who is the faculty co-advisor of the West High School chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation right here in Madison, Wisconsin. He says he's a middle-class white man who never experienced discrimination in his life until he began telling people that he's an atheist. He wrote a great article about the West High School Club in the June-July issue of our newspaper, Free Thought Today, and we'll talk with him about his views and why there needs to be free thought clubs in high schools and what that club has been doing to inform students about the dangers of religious dogma.
As usual, for the first half of Free Thought Radio, we like to concentrate on timely news. We want to report on some current FFRF victories and actions relating to the separation of church and state. Then coming up, we'll have a little treat. We'll play a very funny clip of a popular YouTube item, Atheists Going Door to Door, a spoof on Mormonism.
So it's like an eclectic show today. First, congratulations are due to FFRF's two staff attorneys for remedying some state church violations.
And we've been in this business, at least I have, for more than 30 years, and I know from personal experience how difficult it is to rectify First Amendment violations, even fairly minor violations, how unusual it is to get public officials to respond to letters of complaint and actually take proactive steps to halt ongoing violations. And our staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, and also our junior new staff attorney, Patrick Elliott, have chalked up some impressive victories so far this summer.
In Exeter, California, Rebecca persuaded the school district, the Exeter Union School District, to halt its illegal sponsorship of religious baccalaureates after FFRF helped to stop illegal prayer at a June high school graduation there. We received an additional complaint that a middle school in the same district held an unlawful invocation as part of its 8th grade graduation on June the 3rd. Rebecca's letter of objection elicited a written promise to make sure that this never happens again.
Our staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, also tackled a complicated violation in the Highland School District, Medina, Ohio, where the choir master was having his students give an annual religious concert at his church, Cozy. and including Christian prayer at the annual choir banquet. And this has been going on for at least 3 years. The prayer at the banquet was ending in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are Jewish and non-religious kids at this school, by the way. And the school district was also helping to put on a religious baccalaureate service on school property with participation of school employees. The superintendent replied to FFRF's letter with agreement that under the First Amendment and with the court decisions interpreting it on religion and public schools, that offering prayer at the annual choir banquet, having the choir perform as part of a local church's worship service, is indeed problematic, and she would personally take steps to stop it and ensure an appropriate distance in the future is maintained between that school and church.
If he's going to bring in a high school music class to the church, why don't they bring in the high school science class and teach evolution on Sunday morning as well? FFRF also received word from a Texas public school the last week or so that it has stopped a public high school teacher in McKinney, Texas, from using religious quotes and references in his district email. He was using a signature line that says this: "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin." Romans 6:6. Does that sound like mumbo jumbo to you?
Well, and he was sending this to students.
But what it says, does it make any sense even, unless you're a Christian believer in original sin and the death of Jesus and his payment for all of us, all of our sins on the cross? Not only did the district take action to limit signature lines to just the name, title, and contact, but they let go this teacher. I don't know, what was that about? We figured there was a lot more going on in this instance than
probably he was refusing to accede to their request. In another school violation remedied by FFRF and its staff attorneys, an elementary school in Baldwin, Wisconsin, removed an "In God We Trust" poster from a high traffic area in the cafeteria after receiving a letter from our new staff attorney, Patrick Elliott. Patrick pointed out that the motto serves no secular purpose, that it's offensive to those of us who don't believe in a God or have beliefs contrary to a monotheistic faith, and it turns non-believing students into political outsiders.
In another school violation remedied by FFRF, we got word that the Drum Intermediate School in University Place, Washington, that it agreed it should not have sent flyers home with students in June that advertised summer camp at Mount Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church. The camp is called SunQuest, S-O-N Quest, SunQuest Rainforest Camp. The flyer lacked a disclaimer. A deputy superintendent wrote back and apologized and said it did indeed look as if the district was endorsing the event. They're reviewing their policy to avoid potential entanglement between religion and school district.
So, well done to our staff attorneys who are churning out hundreds of letters of complaint every year in response to requests for help by you, by FFRF members and members of the public.
And this is a free service offered by FFRF, and it's something that you as a member, your membership dues directly support. So if you're listening and you're not a member, if you care about protecting that wall of separation, please consider joining us at FFRF.org.
We are effective. FFRF also got a welcome word that the Madison County Board of Commissioners in Florida voted 3-2 against a proposal to display a 13,000-pound Ten Commandments monument, this summer, after it received a letter from FFRF staff attorney Rebecca Markert, pointing out it would violate the freedom of conscience of residents in that community who do not adhere to this religious dogma. And there were local concerns voiced by commissioners about cluttering up the lawn, and my favorite complaint, that a commissioner didn't want the courthouse looking like a cemetery.
So speaking of the Ten Commandments, that leads us to today's featured news story, which is a big state church fight down in Hawkins County, Tennessee, over a proposed Ten Commandments display. What's really strange about this case is that a local judge, juvenile court judge James Taylor, requested a so-called Foundations of American Law and Government display. When our staff attorney Patrick Elliott studied the situation, he discovered that the judge has created a sort of do-it-yourself Ten Commandments that you won't find anywhere in the Bible. For one thing, it's missing the commandment against adultery.
And we're wondering what this says about the judge, and this is stirring up a lot of coverage in Hawkins County, Tennessee, which the seat is in Rogersville, Tennessee. It's close to Knoxville. This is coverage from WATE-TV in Knoxville.
Tonight, controversy over proposed Ten Commandments display in Hawkins County. A judge wants to put the commandments up in the courthouse, while many, including churches, have donated to the cause. But now, the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation is calling their effort unconstitutional. New at 11, 6 News reporter Mona Nyer talks to both sides.
The new Hawkins County Justice Center opened in January this year, so one of the judges proposed a display on this bare wall of the Ten Commandments and a few historic documents. And that's how things first got stirred up.
So I was traveling to different courthouses in our area. I noticed that most courthouses do have a, what I've learned now is Foundations of American Heritage display. And I realized, of course, that Hawkins County did not have anything like this.
On his website, Judge James Taylor clearly shows pictures of what the frame documents displayed would look like. It includes the Ten Commandments, the Pledge of Allegiance, and national motto, among other things. Judge Taylor says it's not a display of religion. It's a display of America's heritage.
We've been very clear from the beginning that the purpose of the display is to not promote religion, but to promote an understanding and awareness of the role that our religion played in the founding of this country.
But a Wisconsin-based group called the Freedom From Religion Foundation says this is an obvious display of religion.
It's very clear he's trying to use this monument display to promote his own personal views on religion.
In a letter to the county commission, they point out specific examples like the words "under God" displayed in the pledge are larger than the rest of the page.
And admittedly, on the plaques, those wording or the font type is larger than the rest of the plaque, but that's the very core of those laws.
They also say the Ten Commandments have no relation to the civic heritage of the U.S.
There was a Supreme Court decision saying don't put Ten Commandments up inside courthouses.
The federal courts agree this type of display is not a violation of separation of church and state.
Now, the display is backed by some local churches. At East Rogersville Baptist, they raised $1,500 to help pay for it to be put up.
It's really sad that we see some in our society, such as those that have written a letter to our county, who want to somehow whitewash our society of the fact that we were founded as a Christian nation.
We feel certain that this is something supported by our community. And if our community wants it and our law allows it, then we would kind of like to be left alone to put it up.
The next step is for the county attorney to look into the matter and advise the county commission on if this display is appropriate to vote on. In Rogersville, Mona Nyer, 6 News.
Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says it wrote the letter as a response to a Hawkins citizen's complaint about the possible display. Members say they can't reveal who the complaint came from.
So the theocrats are hard at work in government and outside government trying to push religion into our secular laws, into our courthouses, and most distressing, distorting our history with religious right lies and disinformation that make it appear that our founders wanted to establish a theocracy, a Christian theocracy, instead of the fact that the U.S. Was the first secular republic in the world.
So stay tuned. What would it be like if atheists went door to door? This is really funny. You can hear a clip about atheists going door to door pestering Mormons.
This is Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
And in case you missed a very popular video on YouTube, We're going to play an excerpt of it. It's made by the Australian filmmaker John Safran, and it's called Door-to-Door Atheists.
Now listen up, Mormons. A lot of people would say you're freaks, that you wear underpants and worship some guy with magic glasses. But not me. I think you're fine. You definitely don't make less sense than the Catholics, Muslims and Buddhists. However, the Catholics don't come round bashing on my door on Saturday morning. I must have overlooked Deuteronomy 13:11. Blessed is the man who goes around banging on people's door at all hours of the morning, for he truly is Jesus' little friend. And seeing you Mormons seem to be so open to the concept of door-to-door belief pushing, well, it just got me to thinking.
I've come to Salt Lake City, Utah, the world capital of Mormonism, the spiritual home of LDS, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
My pamphlets. I've got my copy of Origins of Species.
I've got my atheist badge. Let's do some good. As religious door knockers always travel in twos, I thought I'd drag along my director, Craig Melville.
Hello, could I take a moment of your time? I'm John and this is Craig, and we'd like to take a moment of your time to talk to you about atheism. Would you be interested in that?
Actually, no, probably not.
To talk to you about atheism and the way it can change your life?
No, thanks, though.
Basically, what...
I'm a bishop.
Oh, really?
In the LDS Church.
The LDS Church. Well, have you ever considered atheism? We believe that the Bible is just made up and it didn't really happen.
Okay, then beat him.
We follow the teachings of a named Charles Darwin. For example, did you know your relatives were monkeys? Did you know that when you die, your body just decomposes into the earth and nothing happens? There's no soul, there's no heaven, God is meaningless, false and irrational. Would I be able to offer you a reading from 1980s concept band, XTC? Dear God, you're always letting us humans down. The war you bring, the babes you drown, and it's the same the whole world round. Dear God, I don't believe in you. But just imagine if you're wasting your entire life going to church, and it all adds up to nothing. This cognitive dissonance causes anxiety within you.
If there is a God.
But the thing is, atheism can cure you of this anxiety.
God's not supposed to.
By providing specific explanations. Oh, did we disturb you from your sleep? Oh, sorry, were you doing something else? Sorry, were you enjoying your own private time and it was really intrusive for someone to come bashing on your door and push their beliefs on you?
Did you understand what I said? This is inappropriate. Take us off your list.
Okay, that video, very funny, by John Safran, reminds us of the song, Dear God. So let's listen to some of it as much time as we have.
Dear God, hope you got the letter and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of me, but all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet, 'cause they don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe in me.
Dear God, sorry to disturb you, but I feel that I should be loud and clear. We all need a big reduction in amount.
That's the song Dear God is being sung by Andy Parsons from the group XTC. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Free Thought Radio will be back to interview a high school teacher here in Madison, Wisconsin, who serves as a faculty advisor for the West High School chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Stay tuned.
I'm Justine from Sarasota, Florida, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Beware of Dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Lorigala with Dan Barker.
And we have in the studio with us Kirk Mefford, who's a bilingual science teacher at West High School in Madison, Wisconsin. Annie Laurie, you graduated from West High School.
I did, many, many years ago.
So is it a good school? They have good teachers there?
Mm-hmm, very good.
Kirk Mefford serves as, in addition to his teaching, the faculty co-advisor of the West High School chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Kirk wrote a very appealing article, High School Freethinkers Challenge Religion, for the June-July issue of Free Thought Today, which is edited by Bill Dunn. And we have some copies of that issue still available if you'd like a complimentary copy of Free Thought Today. Just contact us at ffrf.org and ask for it to be sent to you. And that article will go online shortly.
And Kurt Mefford tells me he grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, infamous home of Pat Robertson. Graduated. He's very young looking, but he has 3 degrees, an undergrad degree from, what was it, a Lutheran college, did you say?
Augustana College in Rock Island, Illinois.
And then you have 2 masters. What are they?
I've got the first one from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in education, and then a second one from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, right here in town.
And you say that you're a bilingual science teacher. So where did you pick up? Is it Spanish?
I was an aspiring pre-med for 4 years in undergrad, and I studied Spanish along the way for enjoyment. And then luckily, I didn't get into medical school, so I got picked up to teach high school Spanish my first year out of college, and I loved it. By Thanksgiving, I'd given up all dreams of medical school and applied to North Carolina, was accepted by spring break, and started that summer. So I got the I was trained as a high school science teacher. And my wife and I moved to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico after I graduated. We both taught at the American school. And when I interviewed with Madison, she went here in undergrad. And her family's in Milwaukee. Mine's in northern Illinois now. And we thought, if we're going to live in the Midwest, it's got to be Madison, Wisconsin. It had everything we wanted in a hometown. So when I interviewed, they offered me a bilingual position, and which I didn't know about. But they said I could go back to school. They would pay for it. They had a federal grant at the time, sent me to Madison, and I got the added on the bilingual certification.
So you are teaching evolution in Spanish?
No, it works where my classes contain clusters of English language learners. So the school counselors have to have classes in which to put students who speak another language other than English first, and they're termed English language learners. So the school must obey natural proportions in the classroom. So if English language learners make up 20% of the population, then most classes can only be 20% English language learners. However, because I have the certification, it can go to 60% of the class. So it gives the counselors more flexibility in scheduling students. Teach in English.
And you can explain science or something in Spanish that they might not be able to get directly in English? Is that it?
Yep. To the students who are native Spanish speakers, I teach mostly mainstream courses with the clusters of the students, the English language learners, but I do teach one class a day to students who lack English proficiency to be in the regular ed.
Wow.
So I can speak with them in Spanish. It's nice. It's a nice way to keep up with the Spanish and do the science education.
I think it was Thomas Paine, I hope I'm not misquoting, who said that one good teacher is worth more than 1,000 priests. So good for you.
Thank you.
And what struck me when I was reading your article in Free Thought Today was your introduction where you said that you're middle class, you've never been discriminated against, you're a white man, you never experienced discrimination until you started telling people you're an atheist. So when did that begin?
You know, I was fortunate to grow up in a more or less privileged environment, free from discrimination, and almost to a fault, where I sort of lacked worldly views that would have kept me from using, homophobic comments with my buddies and stuff. And, you know, looking back now, it's embarrassing, but this was a part of growing up because, you know, I didn't know anyone who was gay at the time, so I couldn't understand how that would be an insult. So then when I moved to Madison, it really helped open my eyes to people who are different. You know, it was it was good. My world experiences went through the roof. So then I began understanding and appreciating the importance of respecting all people, even if I didn't mean something as an insult. I needed to respect all people, and that meant, you know, not even saying it. So then, when I came out of the closet as an atheist, you know, and it wasn't that I was ever in the closet, I just didn't really talk about it. You know, I was young and felt I was invincible. Never thought about deep thoughts really. But a few years ago, when I finally decided that this was a cause that I wanted to fight for, I started wearing my beliefs on my sleeves, you know, literally with t-shirts and bumper stickers. And
what do you have on there right now? It says, what does it say? God loves a winner.
It says God loves a winner.
Instead of a sinner. That's
Yeah, it actually comes from a movie, but I like it. I feel like it's a backhanded comment that if he were true and if he really did love only winners, that'd make him pretty shallow. But it comes from a famous mockumentary movie too from the 90s. But you know, when I started wearing my beliefs on my sleeve, I felt a lot of lashbacks from family, from friends, from students at school, from colleagues at school.
Even here in Madison, huh?
Oh,
Madison's really liberal, isn't it?
It is. And in fact, it's hard for me to leave Madison, you know, to travel to see the in-laws or my parents in Northern Illinois. Politically, it's difficult. So yeah, even here in Madison, you'd be surprised how many people would believe that the road to peace is paved with religious tolerance. Mm. They are very uncomfortable criticizing religious beliefs.
But you never heard any backlash from our daughter who was at West High School?
No, I did not. Huh.
Now, when did the Free Thought Club begin at West High School?
We finished our first year this year. So last summer, last summer I contacted the foundation, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and to seek legal advice, you know, if this club was something that could actually work in a public high school. And you actually recommended that I look up the Equal Access Act of 1984. So I did that and found out that we have a leg to stand on, that we can have an anti-religion group in the school. So I spoke with a colleague of mine who is also very much a free thinker, and we created the club. And so we started in September of 2009, 1 year ago.
And what have you been doing?
We get together weekly for the lunch period. And, you know, first we set out to educate students.
Do you pray before lunch?
No. We, you know, at home we often thank the earth for growing the food and my wife for preparing the food. You know,
yeah, always remember to thank the cook.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's school, you know, we get input, we seek input from the students and the other co-advisor, Aaron Blum. He's a bilingual math teacher at the school. He and I come up with ideas. And it is also influenced by current events like the National Day of Prayer Victory that the foundation had. And we've covered a whole list of topics that, and people, you know, I mentioned in that article that people could check us out on Facebook, and it's been great. Our membership's grown by 10%, which is to say, by 20%, 19 to 23 people on Facebook. We've got a ways to go. But then people have also commented on the wall saying, good job. Wow. And one woman actually sent me a private message and asked how she could donate money to the school club.
Oh, that's nice.
That's great
now,
reception.
We should explain that at West, and probably a growing number of high schools, a lot of them are now holding the clubs that used to meet after school. They're letting all the kids have clubs at lunch.
Yes.
So when you meet at lunchtime, that's when everybody else is meeting, right?
Yep. Yeah, they have a one-hour lunch and learn. The idea is that the first half of lunch will be for clubs, and the second half would be for lunch, or vice versa. First half for lunch, second half for clubs. Many clubs meet for the entire period.
There's religious clubs on campus?
There is a Christian club. Yep. And the Christian club was headed by a student who just graduated, a very talented wrestler. I actually knew him. He's a great kid, I'd say, without religion. He would still be a great kid. And he attended a few of our meetings and then quit coming. I'm not sure why, but he actually had an article in this school newspaper, and it was his response to our club.
He couldn't wrestle with the issues.
You know, I really had hope for him. For 4 years, his father's a minister, pastor, I'm not sure. His father is involved in the church. And for 4 years, I kept my fingers crossed that after he graduated high school, went to college, got away from his family, he would finally be free. And I saw him right at the end of the year. I was speaking with my homeroom. He was actually in my homeroom. And I was talking to the other students in my homeroom. What are you doing after high school? And, you know, students are going to Stanford, Madison. They're going to study engineering, science, education, great things. And then I asked him, and he said, the Moody Bible Institute.
And sounds like you, Dan.
Yeah, I hit myself in the head.
Bible school.
You did?
Not to that particular school, but
no.
Yeah.
Christian but that's college. What you were pushed to do instead of an academic.
Yeah, and some of my high school advisors were shaking their heads at me, like, why are you smart? Why are you doing that, you know? Well, because I wanted to be a missionary, you know? So
there's still hope.
You know, and if a high school teacher had, where was that high school teacher to come up to me and at least plant a word? It was just assumed that that's your life choice, you're going to do it. Where were you? But of course, you weren't born then, but where were you, teachers like you, to help influence, which is supposed to happen? I have another question I want to ask you after the break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're talking with Kirk Mefford. He's a faculty co-advisor to the Freedom From Religion Foundation's West High School chapter. And after the break, we'll continue our conversation on Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Labonte. I'm an atheist, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're speaking with West High School teacher Kirk Mefford, who advises a Free Thought Club here in Madison, Wisconsin, that we're very honored is called the West High School Chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And Kirk, we were talking about how the club started and how you've experienced some discrimination when you came out as an atheist. What's the typical experience of students at West High School who may not be religious or those that are part of the club? Are they feeling pressure too?
I would have to say yes. You know, West High School is a great high school. Having gone there and having a daughter that went there, and it's a great high school. It's like no other high school I've ever been at for a lot of good reasons. But there are still students that are religious or believe that atheists are devil worshipers. When I wear my non-believing t-shirts, students always ask, what does that mean? Do you worship the devil? Do you believe nothing? What's wrong? Did something happen in your life? You know, they're very misguided in understanding what it means to be an atheist. So, you know, I make it my personal goal to get to know the students on a personal level. I want them to know me as a father, as a coach, as a teacher. And so they understand when they find out I'm an atheist that, hey, this guy's an all right guy. Atheists can be okay. You know, they're not devil worshipers. They're not bad people. They're not without morals. But getting back to your question, the students there, you know, we had a student this year who was very active in the club, could have been a tremendous leader. And unfortunately, he ended up quitting the club because of the pressure he was experiencing from other students at the school and his friends. So he decided to, I use it in quotation marks, to go back into the closet and not be an out-and-out atheist. And when we had our posters up in the hallway, some of them were vandalized. You know, one poster said, rule number one of the Freedom From Religion Club is demand evidence. And someone had scribbled that out and wrote, do not, you know, they added, do not demand evidence. And some people just tore down the posters, so only half were hanging in the hallways. So I would have to say yes. You know, I don't know who the students are that are pressuring the members of the club or what they're saying exactly. But I know they're out there.
If it's like that here in Madison, what's it like in the rest of the, in Birmingham, for example?
Yeah, I just shudder to think of that.
Can you wear your atheist t-shirt in the classroom?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dressing like Jesus Christ at Halloween turned some heads. There was a negative call. A mother called the office, talked to an assistant principal, complained, said that her daughter was insulted.
You mean you went into class dressed as Jesus Christ? A scary costume.
It was awesome. The one that's pictured in the foundation's newsletter. Yeah, it was hot, but it was definitely worth it. It was It got a lot of laughs. A lot of students loved it, but I guess there was at least one out there that was genuinely insulted.
Yeah, West High School is pretty laid back.
Oh, very much so.
I wanted to ask you something else. By state law, teachers are required to lead the class in the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you have to ever do that, or what happens?
No, every day at West High, when the bell rings to signal the beginning of the day, there's one of the secretaries in the main office. She has a disclaimer. She reads it. She says, you know, we live in a nation of freedom. Participation in the anthem is voluntary. Those who wish to stand may stand. Others may remain seated. I can't believe I remember this, but after 8 years listening to it every day, she says those walking the hall are asked to stand still during the playing of the anthem. And then there's an instrumental version of the national anthem. So there's no Pledge of Allegiance.
Never did the Pledge of Allegiance. This is what caused the big brouhaha when I went to the school board and said, why doesn't everybody else do what West High School does? They just play the anthem.
Well, because they have the option and by then, state law of the anthem.
And so
or
then
the
school board voted very kindly to do that. And then there was a huge, like, 1,000 people showing up complaining, backlash. This is before your time.
Okay.
But West High School has always been very, very, they were very good and conscious that students don't want to have the pledge forced on them. It's very unusual, though.
But even the anthem every morning, the general consensus is that it's overkill. You know, you go to a sporting event, everyone stands, everyone is quiet, everyone takes off their hats if they have them on. At West High School, you know, maybe one student stands. Mm. Most students, nobody stops in the hallway. Most students don't even stop talking. It's unfortunate, but I think it's lost its special meaning because it's been overplayed.
Well, that was a relatively new law. I think it was right after 9/11.
Okay.
Republicans put that through.
That was right before I moved here.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the activities that the Free Thought Club has done in the last year?
Yeah, this year, the thing that we're most proud of is we built the Free Thought Collection to be housed in the school's library. They call it the LMC, the Library Media Center. So if I say LMC, you know what that is. So we built that. You know, we contacted the foundation. You guys were so kind as to donate a bunch of books. And we wrote a grant with proposal for a grant. We received the grant from the student body. There's an account of money that is distributed every year by a group of students who take applications and distribute it. And they wrestled with it for a couple of weeks when the other clubs that I advise asked for money. They heard back immediately, yes. But this club, it took a couple of weeks till the students, you know, felt comfortable enough to give us money. And the faculty advisor of the club, of that group of students, she came to me and said, you know, it really sparked great conversations about, is this club something we want to support, that we want to put our names behind? And afterwards, after the student president of the Christian club wrote an article at the end of the year and put it in the school paper questioning the school's support of our club, the student organization that gave us the money wrote a letter on behalf of themselves saying, you know, this isn't school money. This comes from some other source.
So it backfired.
So what did you do with the money?
So, you know, using the money, we went to, over winter break, we went to the bookstore and we went shopping and bought books on tape and more books.
To donate for the project.
To donate, yep. Well, so the club did some fundraising to match that gift. And together on February 12th, we opened the Free Thought Collection. It's still there and I check on it all the time. It's, you know, I feel like it's one of my children and it's doing well.
On Darwin's birthday, you opened it.
Yes, Abraham Lincoln, Charles Darwin's birthday.
I remember when Sabrina was at West High School, there was a strong emphasis on evolution in the science textbook. I never got that when I went to science class in high school, but West High School is very good about that.
Yeah, you know, I think the location in liberal educated Madison, evolution is one of the large units of the biology curriculum.
Do you have any students give you flack on evolution in the classroom?
No. And that's, you know, every year I prepare and I mean, I guess part of me almost hopes for that battle. But every year I'm very fortunate. The students, I believe once the facts of the theory of evolution by natural selection are laid out, anyone can understand them. And they're amazed by how simple and elegant the theory really is. And it's explanatory power. It's great.
Yeah. Well, you're doing, I think what you're doing is, if I can use a religious word, a very high calling. Educating the youth of our country is one of the best things we can do for not just for free thought, but for reason and for the health of the world.
Well,
thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to remind people that we still have some leftover copies of the June-July issue of Free Thought Today that Kirk Mefford's very good article, and there's photos, is in, and you can ask for a sample at ffrf.org.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And we want to thank our producer, as always, Brian Turani, who this week is involved in a bike race for AIDS, and our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio was recorded here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Your membership supports Free Thought Radio's broadcasts. You support our litigation, our staff attorney's works to keep state and church separate. And you can also, as I said, get a complimentary issue of the June-July issue of Free Thought Today by asking at our website at ffrf.org. And we invite you to tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday